How do we repent? How do I repent? How do you repent? What do you do when you repent? That's the message before us. What do we do? What are fruits worthy of repentance? Verse 11 in the third chapter of the Gospel according to Luke. Apokrithes de elegain. Altois ho ekon. Dio ketonas. Metadoto to me ekonte kai ho ekon. Bromata homios poieto. Now they were questioning John, and John kept on giving them answers of how they repent. How do they repent? What do you do? What are the actions in your life when you have come to know Jesus Christ? And all of these people are going to ask him these questions, each one of them, and John takes time to answer each question. Because this is eternally important, isn't it? Eternally important. Paramount. And having answered, he kept on saying to them, the one having two undergarments to keep one warm, two undergarments, let him divide it with the one not having a long-handled underwear, basically. And the one having food in the same manner, in the same way, let him do this. The one having good eats, the one having good eats, let him do the same thing. Share what you have. Share what you have. Don't be greedy. Don't be greedy, is what he said. Do not be greedy. I mean, you don't have to have 10 pair of underwear, he said. One is very necessary. And John, he's practicing what he's preaching. He's out there. He's not in the city working. He's preaching the word of God. All of his time and everything he does is God's time. God things. Elthon de kai telone. Baptistene kai epon pros auton didaskale ti poiesomen. And moreover, furthermore, they came also tax collectors. These are the lowlifes of the day. The lowlifes of the day came to him. The collector of human taxes for profit, to be baptized. And they said, now when they were going to be baptized, said, what must our actions be? What must I do to be worthy of this baptism? What must I do to be worthy to become a child of God? What should I do? What are my actions? How shall I conduct myself? And they said to him, Teacher, what may we do? Teacher, what may we do? The tax collectors. What may we do? What must we do? How must we? Our occupation is tax collectors. Now, I want you to understand this as we look at the tax collectors. The tax collectors had an open-ended occupation. The sky is the limit on how much they could make. First of all, they were working for the Roman government, and the Roman government says, I want $5 from that guy. Whatever you get from him, above that, it's yours. That's your pay. I want $5. If you get $100, then you're going to make $95. And that's what they did. Zacchaeus was very rich. The tax collectors were rich. Now we find Matthew. Matthew was an honest tax collector, evidently, and this may have been him right here. Matthew was exacting from people only what they owed. Only what they owed. Now let's go on. 3:13. Ho de epan pros altos medain pleon paraton dia tetra trek. Tag minon himen prosete. And John said to them, and the one said to them, this is literally what it says, and we're talking about John the Baptist, nothing more besides the very thing having been commanded you to do. Don't charge more than what you've been told to charge. Don't stick 50% in your pocket. Charge what you're asked to charge. And that's only. Be reasonable. Verse number 14. Eperoton de auton kai stratruomenoi legontes ti poiesomen kai hemes kai epen autois medene diesestite mede sika thon te sente kai ar caste tois opsenois hemon. Moreover, they thoroughly interrogated him, also the soldiers. The word strateomenoi, that's strateo, that's where we get our word strategy. The strategists, men in active military service, said, now the soldiers, some of them were saved. They said, what shall we do also? And he told them, don't you intimidate, shake up, terrorize anybody. Neither accuse anyone falsely. And ye be satisfied with your rations. Be satisfied with your rations. No booty is what he told them. No booty. Now, let's go back and look at this. Soldiers. Marilyn had her DNA done, and she's supposed to be half Danish. And she turned out to be a quarter Greek, very little Danish, Russian, Polish, all kinds of stuff over there. You know why? You know what the wages of war were? They went into areas, and they first they did is rape and pillage. They got booty. They stuck the best things in the household in their pocket, and they killed everybody. If there was a beautiful woman, they raped her. If there was a woman or child or whatever, they raped them at will. That's what they did. Now, that's how the soldiers were paid. Other than that, they were paid very good food. If there was food to be had, they fed them well. And they had their salt. Salt was a necessary thing. Like, they earned their salt. I remember Brother Madden, D.S. Madden, telling me that when he went to Europe, he was on several campaigns. He was with Audie Murphy in the same army that he was in. He went from North Africa, except he was there longer. And he was at Anzio Beach. And I can't remember. I think he went into seven different campaigns, if I remember correctly. Every time they got ready to go into a campaign, they had a great big feast. They had a great big turkey dinner or something. He said they were fattening us up for the kill because that's the last good food we're going to get. Yeah. Brother Madden, I think, was he's about 6'6", 6'8", somewhere around there. And when I knew him, he probably weighed 400 pounds or more, somewhere around. He's a big man. When he was at Anzio, he was under fire at Anzio and in those ditches for a long, long time. Starving to death. He weighed 140 something pounds when he left Anzio. Starved to death for months in those trenches. People were going crazy in those trenches. People were becoming vicious. I remember he told a story about Moxie Gumbo, an old West Virginia hillbilly bootlegger that killed many people back in his day, here in the States. He went over there and Moxie Gumbo was vicious. Under strain, it made him meaner still. He said there was a German soldier surrendering to them. He said, comrade, 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 I surrender, I surrender. His back was broken. He'd been shot and his lower, he was paralyzed. His legs, he's crawling up there to surrender on the road. Moxie Gumbo went by and shot him in the head. Brother Madden said, you heartless, heartless, heartless man. He said, if I could waste a bullet, I'd shoot you in the brain. Anyway, went on. They were there in the trenches and Anzio Beach and Brother Madden. When we flew over Anzio, he said, there's where old Moxie Gumbo and I were right down there. We're in an airplane, we're going to land in Rome. We flew over Anzio. He told me the story again. Down in that hard, hard ditch, starving to death. They got some coffee someplace. Brother Madden was making coffee. Men were going crazy all over the place and stir crazy, and they'd have to haul them off. He said, if a coward goes crazy, he said, you can handle him. But if a brave man goes crazy, watch out. Katie, bar the door. Moxie Gumbo was out there shooting Germans. They'd get out there, and he was a great sharpshooter. He had a Springfield rifle. .03 Springfield, I think it was, 30-06. He said he could hit a man in the foot at 300-400 yards, 500 yards. He said a German soldier would get out there and he'd shoot him in the kneecap or something, shoot him in the foot. His friend had come out to help him back, he'd shoot him in the leg. He'd have a whole pile of those Germans out there, and then he'd shoot in the hand. He'd shoot him in the left leg and the right hand so they couldn't crawl and help each other. Over and over again he's doing this. He said, you animal. He said, like playing cat and mouse with them. Kill them. Leave them be. Kill them. Get them out of their misery. He just laughed. Just laughed. Finally, one day, one morning early, he got this coffee. He brewed this coffee. And he grabbed a cup of coffee and he poured it for old Moxie Gumbo. I'll tell you, Moxie Gumbo was a vicious man, but Moxie Gumbo watched Madden's back. He said, I went all the way through the war. I didn't have to worry about what's behind me, ever. Because that man was going to take care of it. He may be vicious, but he'd take care of it. He said that war made him meaner than he was when he got there. He was a vicious killer of a man. But he said, I trusted him with my life. Because we had to. He said, Moxie Gumbo, you want to wear it or you want to drink it? Moxie Gumbo had a razor-sharp knife, bayonet, and he tried to slash Brother Madden's throat. And he ducked and stuck that bayonet in the side of that trench. Brother Madden looked at him in those eyes. He said he was plumb crazy, glazed over nuts. He said, I had a .45. I pulled that .45. I stuck it underneath his neck and pulled the trigger. I had to kill that man. He said it would take 6 or 7 men to hold him down and contain him. We'd all been killed. It was all over. Soldiers in hard times. This is the kind of men that we're talking to John the Baptist here. Men that had suffered greatly. And they said, what must we do? We've been through all of this. We've killed people. We've wounded people. We've done all this. What shall we do now that we have been born again? John Chivington was a Methodist preacher. And they gave him a Colonel John Crivington, they gave him a little temporary officership. He went to Colorado in the whorehouses and the bars, and he picked out some wicked, wicked men. And he told them, we're going to go and we're going to kill Indians. We're going to kill Indians. We're going to go take out Black Kittle, the Cheyenne. Now, those people were under truce with the United States government. They weren't enemies. Chivington, to make a big splash on the scenes in the newspaper, drove into this Indian village, attacked them before daylight, and killed every man, woman, and child, including Black Kittle. The Sand Creek Massacre. They were going to try him for what he did. They butchered those women. They ate their breasts. They raped them. They killed them. They took booty. Wickedness, 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 wickedness. They ask him, what shall we do? What are our limits? What shall we do? And he said, don't take booty. Don't rape and pillage. Do your job, what you're supposed to do, and be satisfied with the food you eat and your salt, your rations. That's what you do. You want to look at that word, opsonois? That's on page 471 there. Soldiers' wages were in major proportions. What they could steal and pillage from the victims. That was their booty. That's how Muhammad paid his men. That's how they still pay the men in the Muslim, that what we call ISIS, or the struggle, the jihad today. John told them, be satisfied with your salt and your rations. Be satisfied with your salt and your rations. Verse number 15. Pros dokon tos, de tu lau, kai dialogizomanon, panton en tes karies auton peritu, ewane me pote, autois, e ho Christos. Moreover, furthermore, now expecting the people, the common man there, the lau, and debating for themselves, all in the hearts of them, concerning the John, perhaps he might be the Christ. Maybe John is the Christ. Let's go back and read this in the Amplified now, from about verse 11. And he replied to them, he who has two tunics, undergarments, now they said, what must we do? This is his answer to what kind of conduct they're going to have in the kingdom of God. He replied to them, he who has two undergarments, two pair of long hand underwear, let him share with him who has none. He who has food, let him do the same way. Now, this undergarments here, those are the things that keep you warm in winter. Like long handle underwear. Even tax collectors came to be baptized, and he said to them, teacher, what shall we do? How shall we conduct ourselves? And he said to them, exact and collect no more than the fixed amount appointed to you. There was a certain wage that they had. Be satisfied with your wages. Don't embezzle. And those serving as soldiers who asked him, and what shall we do? And he replied to them, demand, never demand, or enforce by terrifying people or by terrorizing. Muhammad said, strike terror in their hearts of the unbelievers. Kill them, strike terror in their heart. He said, don't do this. What Muhammad said and what Jesus and John the Baptist said are two different stories, people. Terrifying people are by accusing wrongfully, and always to be satisfied with your rations of supply and with your allowance of wages. And 15. And as the people were in suspense, tossing about in their minds, thinking all the time, waiting expectantly, and everybody reasoned and questioned in their own hearts concerning whether perhaps John might be the Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One of Israel. Apotrinato legon pasin. Ho evanes ego men idate, baptizo himas ercetate ho is korotoros. Mu uk, eme hikanos, lise ton himaton, ton hippodematon, alton altos himas baptise en numate, hagio kai piri. And he caught up in speech with them. He answered them, saying, to all the John, I indeed in water I dip. I dip people in water. Now you have to remember, baptism is not something new. In Jerusalem, all around there, down in the Qumran area where the Essenes were, the Qumranian caves, they had baptistries all over the place. They dipped people. All of you out there sprinkling or pouring on people for baptism, that's not correct. You're baptized by immersion. It typifies something. typifies a cleansing, and it typifies a death, burial, and resurrection. In the Old Testament, when a woman went through her monthly cycle, her mother-in-law took her and baptized her 12 times in a baptismal, a bathma. 12 times she was dipped for each one, for each tribe of Israel, that she might bring forth and be fruitful and get pregnant. That's what their whole purpose was. Every sheep that was offered was baptized and washed. There's baptisteries at Pool of Siloam. All of those baptisteries around Jerusalem, there were baptisms all over the place. So now we know that baptism is something that even John had been baptized. As a child, he was dipped and purified before he was ever circumcised. They dipped him. It was a cleansing. It was a purification. It was showing that they were clean. And John asked them to be clean before they were baptized even. And he answered, saying to all the ones, John, I indeed dip you in water. And ye, but one, the one stronger than I am, he shall come for himself, of whom not, know not, I am worthy, competent, of social status, to loose the shoestrings of the sandals of him. Now the word sandals here is hypodematon, and that's genitive plural, and it really is a underbinders. You take your foot and you bind something underneath the foot, and they wore sandals back then. And they would tie the sandals. Thongs are a type of sandal. They're tied to your feet, even though it's a very small tying, slipping your feet in there. But underbinders, he said, I was not worthy to tie a shoelace of him, of his sandals. And he shall baptize you, shall dip you in spirit, holy, and fire. And that's on the day of Pentecost. That's on the day of Pentecost. That church would be immersed in the Holy Spirit, and on each one of them that was speaking, there would be flames of fire coming off their heads. Verse number 17. Who told to o ente kera auton diakathari tain aluna auto kai synagogain ton siton eis tain apothekain auto tode akuron kara kenese pere asbesto. He said, of whom? The fan is in his hand, in the hand to him. To thoroughly cleanse, dia katharaz. This word comes from katharizo, and also dia. It means to thoroughly cleanse and to purify. The threshing of him, and to gather together. This is the word synagogue comes from, that synago. To gather together the wheat unto the barn of him, but the chaff he shall burn down with fire, asbestos. Here we get the word asbestos. The fire of hells are called asbestos fire. They will not burn you up if you're going to hell. The word asbestos comes from that word asbesto. Verse number 18. Pola man un kai hetera parakalon yuanga lezitel ton laon. Therefore, indeed, many things of different kinds he kept on exhorting and evangelizing the people, the common man, each man as a unit. 19. Ho de Herodes, ho tetrarches, elex comonos, heap auto peri herodiados, tes ganakes, tu adelphu, Altu kai peri panton hon epoisen poneron ho hod Herodes. But Herod, the tetrarch, the ruler of one of the four parts, being reproved, that word eklexko there, that means being convicted by him, concerning Herodias, the wife of his brother of him. Now, Herod had taken his brother's wife and married her. She was a floozy. She was a looker. And she trained her daughter as a liaison, as a prostitute, a high courtesan. And that's how she got John the Baptist's head. Concerning all things which he did, evil, poneron. That's homosexuality, prostitution, child molesting, rape, pillage. That's that word right there. Homosexuality. The Herod. He condemned him concerning all things that he had done. Prosek, said Ken, kai tuto epi posin kai kata klesen ton iwana en phalake. And he added, he placed before also this above all, so that he locked him down, John, in prison. That he locked down John in prison. Let's go back and read this in the Amplified now. And John answered them all by saying, I baptize you, I dip you in water. Now the translator said, with water? No, not with water, in water. You don't dip. When you dip in water, not with water. I baptize you, I dip you in water. But he who is mightier than I is coming, whose shoelace of the sandals I am not fit to unfashion. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Fire unquenchable, remember. His winnowing fork is in his hand to thoroughly clear and cleanse his threshing floor and to gather the wheat and store it in his granary. But the chaff he will burn with fire that cannot be extinguished. So, with many other various appeals and admonitions, he preached the good news, the gospel, to the people. But Herod the Tetrarch, who had been repeatedly told his fault and reproved with rebuke, producing conviction by John for having Herodias, his brother's wife, for all the wicked things that Herod had done. And added this to all the other wicked things, he shut John up in prison. Now, let me tell you a little bit about this. This putting John in prison was, from what we find from other places that Herod's wife, Herodias, wanted to kill John the Baptist. Herod liked to hear him preach. He enjoyed hearing him preach, even though he was the object of it at times, because he knew that he was a prophet of God. So he would go and listen to him preach. And then he found out that his wife wanted to kill him. Now his wife was slow, was connected to the Sicarii. The Sicarii were the Dagon men, the assassins. They were Jewish zealots that were, they would even attack their own people. They were mercenaries. They were assassins. Masada, when Masada fell, it fell because of the Sicarii. Now John the Baptist was preaching and Herodias hated him. And John was put in prison by Herod for protective custody. For protective custody because he didn't want his wife to kill him. He didn't want his wife to hire some assassin to do it. So that's why John was in prison, for protective custody. Even though Herod was convicted, we have a man almost repenting. We have a man almost believing and married to this witch, Herodias. He didn't take the best that his brother had. He took the worst. That woman was no good. She was a murderer. She was an assassin in her own heart. Now we're going to quit right here at verse number 20. Verse number 20. And I want to give you an invitation. If you're out there without Christ, if you're out there without repenting, if you haven't come to the point of repentance in your life and change your life by the power of God, you need to be saved. If the things that John demanded here, if you have not done, you need to ask God to forgive you and grant you repentance and to give you eternal life. If you're out there, then you're saved. You need to serve the Lord the best you can, whether it's supporting God's ministries wherever they are in the world, being the witness that you ought to be. God left you here for one reason, not for yourself, but to lead others to Christ. We're all evangelists. We should all be evangelists. Our Father, we send this message out. I pray that your Holy Spirit goes with it, that your word will not return unto you void. Forgive me where I fail you. Help me to follow you closer every day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.